Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be as almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
NFL selects Green Bay, Wisconsin.
The NFL draft gets underway in Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm certainly excited.
Right here in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
The week of the draft.
I just hope it doesn't make us look bad. That's all.
We need to continue to ramp up our sense of urgency.
Next thing you know, you have another guy that you feel awesome about.
The Packers are one of the toughest teams to nail down in the first round.
The depth of this class outshines the star power of this class.
Mikel Williams.
Pushed immediately and slung down by Mikel Williams.
Maxwell Hairston, the corner from Kentucky.
Throws down the middle of the field. Maxwell Hairston, big time pick.
There are plenty of spots you could put Shamar Stewart. The teams want to roll the dice on talent.
Down he goes. Shamar Stewart on the sack.
In terms of Emeka Abuka, a professional receiver.
Caught in stride, Abuka, touchdown.
And we'll look at the focus and concentration.
Wow. I am a huge Hunter Waller fan. Any safety who hits like that, I'm going to be a fan of you.
Hit, dropped, and guess who made the lip is Hunter Waller.
So Green Bay, you're on the clock.
Welcome to my house.
I just don't know exactly what they feel like they need the most right now.
If they're not better this year, there's going to be a lot of seats warming up.
I think they're one marquee player away.
With the 23rd pick.
They needed receivers in the first round and not
this
done it.
Has to be the most important draft of Brian Gutekunst's tenure.
Yeah, I think it's time that we start competing for championships.
The Green Bay Packers select.
Welcome to my house.
It's my house.
How do you not get excited when you listen to Johnny Montage? It is the Wednesday edition, the NFL Draft Eve edition. Although it's a nighttime event tomorrow, so it's not quite the same as Christmas Eve where you wake up in the morning then and Santa's come and brought presents. Who will the draft Santa bring to the Green Bay Packers at number 23? We'll be able to talk about that more tomorrow as we head into draft day. Great movie. Edition. Also, the no Brian Bulaga, but sort of Brian Bulaga as he travels to Green Bay edition. And as always, on Wednesdays, the Uncle Homer edition of Wilde and Tosh on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app. Your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, I see it, Facebook, and of course YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-free, all-customizable, your teams, your states, your ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, but he'll be in Green Bay tomorrow, and so will be
what,
the Packers
food?
Hall of
What?
Is, I
is
think
there
is
be food,
food,
or why is Jesse
I believe there will be food,
yes.
Oh.
And more also, importantly, there will be video cameras and audio equipment to set up. But then there will be food.
Real conundrum. It's always intriguing to find out why and when Jesse decides he's going to show up on remotes. It's a real pickle that he's in.
Also scheduled to appear in Green Bay, Wisconsin, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He doesn't come just for the food. He comes to deliver great gifts. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm taking a gift back home with me. I guess I'll be heading back Friday night. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
Sounds like a good idea. I really can't wait. Send me a picture. I would love it for you to hang Hansel and Gretel right next to the framed U.S. National Parks Johnny montage and all the photos that you and Sarah have filled in from the kids going to all your various parks. That sounds like a great design.
After you did what you did with Hansel and Gretel, I actually burned your blanket and threw your poster away.
Wow. That seems excessive.
Yeah, that's
a tit-for-tat deal, right? Isn't that how tit-for-tats work?
I don't think that's how those work.
Not exactly.
We're off to a great start.
How is that
great
not a tit-for-tat?
I have Christmas presents to give both of you tomorrow, and I do plan bringing them.
Oh, good. It's perfect time to start. Get some kindling. Get these. You know, it's that nice part where it's not quite warm enough, but now it's night. You could go out and start a little fire, a little campfire. That's perfect. We can get Hansel and Gretel. We can get blankets. Yeah. It's nice. Tit for tat. Hey, what is the deal with this scam?
What's the deal?
Oh, boy.
All right,
what's
Jerry.
The deal with this scam? Scam text messages about tolls. Why is this such a prominent deal? Why is it working? Because if it's not working, usually the scammers will stop it. It keeps coming. These scam text messages.
So I just saw a news story on this. Yeah, I am getting those, and we don't have tolls here, and I have not driven anywhere outside the greater Green Bay area other than to come down to Madison a couple weeks ago. There's no tolls on 151. There might be on 26. They just call them speeding tickets in Rosendale. It means you were in a data hack. So if you're getting those, that means your data was exposed to some scammers.
Everybody's data is exposed to
everyone. You're right about that, as usual.
Have you been doing a lot of driving out of state where they would get your stuff and they would...
No, it's not from that. It's just they just use the toll thing as a scam to convince you to pay money and enter your credit card information.
Question.
If you ask a question and you don't let the person answering it finish, is that really... what did you really ask it for?
You did finish. You said data's breached, blah, blah, blah. When
you decided
you
I was finished.
Blah,
I got
blah,
it
blah.
Now. Sure. Gotcha.
When you're...
I'm finished.
...putting your info out there and you trust institutions to cover and kind of make sure that that's not breached, what is the liability of a state of Illinois or a toll state when and if you end up getting scammed? Do you end up getting retribution if you get scammed because that data was breached? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But again, I don't. I think you're falling for the banana in the tailpipe that the scammers want you to think. No, but you're saying that it's because of Illinois and tolls. It's not a data breach that was like the Illinois tolls. It is some other data breach of, you know, when you were buying, you know, when you were on the shopgoodwill.com website and you got me my Hansel and Gretel print. That maybe your information was breached
there.
Went
to a store on Michigan Ave and got you a nice print and you threw it away. Yeah, that's not where it got breached.
Michigan Ave.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's right off of Michigan.
drove down to Illinois, and then that's when he had to pay the tolls. Yeah, exactly.
Breach City, USA.
So I feel like there have been settlements for like major companies, like retailers that had their data breached. You get like a coupon or something if you're part of the class action lawsuit. Yeah. So you have not fallen for this. You watched the videos that we put out.
Remember your training.
The fishing.
Yep.
Yes.
You trained your whole life for this.
Lord knows they do that enough, huh? Am I right?
All right, so did we get you an answer on that? Would you like to move on now?
I'm ready to move on. That's kind of why I said let's move along. But yeah, I think as I was watching this morning, and Schrager is, now that he's an ESPN teammate, great hire by ESPN in my opinion, he's pretty dialed in. He picks Super Bowl winners pretty regularly. He doesn't try to fake like he is a draft connoisseur. He just goes off the data. And I don't know who I believe. Now, the last three mocks I've seen that you're a Brugler guy. What's the guy that was on Jim, Matt, and Molly?
That's Matt Miller. Matt Miller, yeah.
And now Schrags. I think all have went wide receiver for the G&G with their last mocks. I think, and as I've been listening, and Jason, you dropped that great nugget a couple weeks ago about four first-round picks to our Hall of Famers that have been first-round wideouts. Green Bay needs a wideout. Urgency. I think tomorrow night, with the 23rd pick, I am getting more and more convinced Goody is going to pull the trigger and grab a wideout that he thinks can be that dominant number one player to help elevate the rest of the receiving core and Jordan Love and this passing offense. Urgency, urgency, urgency. I think they're going to do something out of character, go with the first round wideout, and make the big impact. I am more convinced now, a day out, that that's the route that this team is going to go. You joining my club?
No. That's great that everyone's mocking wide receiver to them. And I hope it's true, because it'll be a great story. Much more interesting than taking a tackle or whatever they might do instead. Here's the issue. So, and we talked about this earlier in the week. Goody talked on Monday. A year ago, someone asked him about Cooper DeJean. And he gave this long, detailed, thoughtful answer about how star-spangled awesome Cooper DeJean was. And I'll never forget, Domofsky turns and says, after Goody walks off the podium,
"We ain't drafting him."
Well, they're not drafting Cooper DeJean, because why would he say all those nice things publicly? And he was right. Cooper DeJean was on the board as the Green Bay Packers selected at 25, and they took Jordan Morgan instead. Teteroa McMillan came up on Monday. Matt Scheinman of The Athletic asked, you know, "Goody, you were reportedly the only GM at his pro day." And Goody, "I wasn't there."
I saw that. Somebody put Seinfeld music behind it. It was cute. I liked it. Did like a little comedy hour with Gooder.
That's a new one. Let's not do that one. there was a follow up question about just what he thought of McMillan, and he basically could not get out of his answer quickly enough, which is the opposite of what he did with Cooper DeJean. Now, that doesn't mean they're picking Teteroa McMillan. It also doesn't mean that Teteroa McMillan will be available at number 23. So in order to make your prediction, or the prediction that you're co-opting from all these other folks that have mocked a wide receiver to Green Bay, if Emeka Abuka, Matthew Golden, and Teteroa McMillan are the three first-round graded wide receivers, and the Packers are picking 23, I am skeptical that all three will be there at 23. So then the question becomes, does Goody want a wide receiver enough to go up and get one?
Don't be reaching. Don't be reaching.
To trade an asset to go get one. That's my question.
And do you think he does?
I don't. I don't believe. He only has 8 picks. He does not. As I have discussed, and I can't remember who to give credit for this, for pointing this out, in all 7 of his drafts, he has always exercised at least one first-round pick, at least one second-round pick, at least one third-round pick. Now, in 2022, he had 2 second-round picks, his own and the Raiders. from the Devontae trade. He packaged those two to go up to take Christian Watson at 34 on the second pick of the second round. But he always picks someone in each of those rounds. He does not have that ammunition at the top of the draft to give up a third-round pick to go up 10 spots or 8 spots or whatever the number of spots he'd have to go up to get a wide receiver would require. So I am skeptical. Not saying it's impossible, but I'm skeptical. You think it'll happen?
I guess the question, and this is where I am not in the draft industrial complex like some. That's not, you know, I like hearing about it. I obviously watched the Wisconsin players and then am very intrigued by who and what Green Bay may or may not do. I don't know how highly valued those four wide receivers are, but the fact that the rumor mill is pushing that Shador Sanders might not even the odds on ESPN Bet and some other places, I have not checked Rockford's yet, but I'm sure Rockford has this too. The fact that Shador Sanders is now, the odds are he's going to go in the second round, that's not good for the G&G. You want to see teams, especially when you feel solidified at quarterback, you want to see scrambling for quarterbacks. Then things, the apple cart gets upset. That's how an Edgerrin Cooper drops to you in the second round when really good football players, teams are hunting for that quarterback. So if those four wideouts, the last thing you want to do is reach and hope.
Hope is not
and
a strategy.
That's what you have to, that's, if that's what you end up doing, it typically you end up looking, you have egg on your face. So
Goody doesn't reach. Goody doesn't reach and he doesn't hope. He maybe gets the pick wrong, or he picks based on potential and maybe not as much production, right? LVN, et cetera. But I don't think he's guilty.
Well, isn't that hoping and reaching when you're going just off of what the potential
No,
may
I
be?
Think if you're I think if you're grading guys that way, I mean, Ron Wolf reached for John Michaels when he got caught, as he would say, with his pants down, talking to Ray Lewis on the phone, thinking he was getting Ray Lewis in 1996, and then the Baltimore Ravens took Ray Lewis. Like, I don't think, you know, I think Goody.
You know the part that sucks about that? Because I think the math adds up. Terrell Davis ain't running for whatever in that Super Bowl if Ray Lewis is your middle.
I would tend to agree with you on that statement.
Isn't it crazy to think of how much the fortunes of teams change when you don't get the
love
stick
it? Right. Don't you love that? I love that. I love
very
that.
Romantic. Some
I am.
Say.
I still and Tom Silverstein did this great article where he sat down with Goody in the draft room.
What great journalism that was! Woo! Spoon back to number one in my power ranking. Spoon. After that,
I saw Domovsky interviewed the people who live across the street from the draft.
That was good.
That was
too.
A really good story,
yeah.
too.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
More cutesy than what Spoon did.
Jason was breaking down the punters yesterday.
If I may finish, jerks.
Sure.
Can't wait to see both you knobs in person tomorrow.
Jason,
so,
I want to be valid before you finish your point on Spoon. Four. The Packers have only drafted a wideout four times in the first round in their history, correct?
In the Super Bowl era.
So I have to specify Super Bowl era. If I
think that's important because I don't know. I'm sure they drafted a receiver. You know, I don't know when they drafted Don Hutson. I'll have to go back and check. But what now? If I could get back to my train of thought that was so rudely interrupted.
Sure.
In Tom's story. They're going through film with Goody. Now, I would argue, I was hoping, and obviously Goody didn't sign off on this, I would like to see the plays that they're watching. That would have, you know, more of a all-encompassing video and written word, everything else. But it was really fascinating. The one thing that I liked, though, and I would love to, I always say this, Spoon mentions in the story that they were really smitten with Brandon Ayuk, and Goody had traded up from 30 to 26, and Brandon Ayuk went 25 And the 49ers made that trade after the Packers had traded up to 26. Like, whoever was picking 25th was on the clock. And the 49ers jumped in and took Brandon Ayuk. And there were multiple reports that the Packers wanted Ayuk. And Goody confirms that to Tom Silverstein in this article. So once again, my question is, if both of them had been there, it's great that they sat and watched film, and he loves Jordan Love. He's got a loose arm. It's a really good story. But if Brandon Ayuk does not go to the 49ers, does Goody draft Brandon Ayuk? Is that his Ray Lewis moment? And he takes Jordan Love, who he likes a lot, but if both of them are there, who does he take? Having just been to an NFC championship game the year before with an aging Aaron Rodgers at quarterback,
Ayuk probably brings him a championship. They ain't losing to San Fran in 21. Yeah, what a world, huh?
It is quite a world. Also, thanks to Mike. Don Hudson joined the Packers in 1935. The draft didn't start until 1936. That is courtesy of Mike in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments. So he'll always be a first-round pick to me, Don Hudson, just like Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin are always my first-round draft pick.
Lot of buzz, man. Oh, man. Just watching on whether it's everybody up there. I think a lot of folks got up last night. More people coming in. A lot of buzz. Oh, my gosh. Up there in Green Bay, but you're not going to find any draft talk when it becomes seeping through those windows. Never with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. In fact, you should make Pella your number one pick because right now you take advantage of no interest financing options. Or you can get free glass upgrades. Their talented designers and installers can match your home's unique decor through seamless customizations. Certain restrictions do apply. This deal ends April 30th, so place your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Complicated fella in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments says, Goody reached on Tyron Hopper last year. I'm talking about first-round picks. I don't think he drafts for need and jumps his board for first-round picks. He may be wrong on them, and oftentimes he has been. But, like, they were smitten with Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt in 22. I know that from talking to people. So he got his guy, and he had him rated highly. Whether or not he turns out to be the player that they believed he could be, he's facing another critical year. We'll talk more about the draft on the eve of the draft, NFL Draft Eve, in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So tomorrow, as we come to you live from the Tundra Trio in the shadow of Lambeau Field, we'll do Who's Your Guy? Who's the guy you want? Who is that player that you want the Packers to draft?
Vontae Mack.
No matter what. My question, though, is if you can choose the position. Because I see whenever Tausch tweets, you know, there's something going on in his brain. Feels like a WR1 at 23 tomorrow. So
yep.
My question is, what position do you want them to draft in the first round? Do you want them to draft the wide receiver?
It's got to be three choices as a Packer fan. Like,
defensive lineman, cornerback, wide receiver?
I would say edge rusher or a dominant D. Yes, I guess D lineman if you want to say that. Then I think I think wide receiver would be at the top of most Packer fans' list. And even if Goody ends up doing a Jalen Reagor and he picks that wide out, I think you're going to see a ton of excitement until you don't. You'll have excitement all the way to September if you go wide receiver one. And that might be a reason why, and I had this discussion on with the KBN Groupthink boys yesterday, that adds a lot of pressure because, oh, it's not fair. Or they were all disappointed in Goody's comments that he had with you guys on Monday about the urgency the not playing right away. And my point to those guys was I like giving a little buffer. So there's enough pressure on these guys being a first-round pick so that if they're not thrown right into the mix and they can kind of get a little build-up and then start maybe getting more and more reps as October comes, and then by November, December, hey, this guy's pretty blank and good, I'm all right with that. I don't think if he drafts somebody at 23 as a wideout, they are going to be called upon right away. Mm-hmm. You are going to be thrown in the mix now. And if you can handle it, great. But understanding there is a little bit of a little learning curve buffer. Unless you are a Justin Jefferson, that type of player, which would be what every Packer fan is hoping for if that can happen tomorrow night.
So I talked to KBN on Monday after Goody had spoken. And I really enjoy, I don't know who gets credit from their graphics department, but they did a little graphic of a quote from Goody, and it was one word, no, which was quoting him responding to the question of does he need his first round pick to have to be a starter right away or to have immediate impact? No. Now, the answer was longer than that one word, but you know that groupthink crew over at KBN. But when I joined them that afternoon, they were, especially Kyle, apoplectic about that answer. They hated that answer. They were very fired up. And I didn't get it. I mean, Jordan Morgan wasn't an impact player last year, and they made the playoffs.
A lot of people are irritated about that. LVN
wasn't an impact player in 23. They made the playoffs and had the 49ers on the ropes in the division round. In 2019, Rashawn Gary definitely wasn't an impact player, and they made the NFC Championship game. Now, they did start their other first-round pick, Darnell Savage, all year that year. But, yeah. Look, I would argue, and tell me if you disagree, it doesn't have to be the first-round pick that has the immediate impact, but they do need, regardless of what Goody said about, hey, if we played a game this week, I feel very, very good about our roster and us going out there and competing. They're going to need some players from this draft class to have an impact. And last year, it was clearly Edger and Cooper, who might have been their best defensive player during the second half of the season. Evan Williams had an impact. Javon Bullard had an impact. They had guys who had an impact last year, even if Jordan Morgan only started one game. So would you love for your guy? And I thought Goody's answer, the most important part was, it's usually about opportunity. Quay Walker started every game as a rookie because they needed a linebacker, and they drafted one, and he played right away. Who do they need in the first round? What position do they need in the first round that, oh, we have to get a starter with our first round pick? Is it corner? Because I don't think they think that. Is it defensive line? I don't think they think that either. Maybe wide receiver. Maybe.
That's where you believe in your roster. You want to continue to add depth and competition at spots. It is when you get in trouble when you start thinking, man, we need to get a defensive lineman with the 16th pick. Let's go grab a kid from Tennessee that we think maybe can be that guy. That's when you get in trouble. And instead of it being, well, we don't really view him as a first-round pick, but we need somebody.
Totally agree.
Trouble. Mm-hmm. That is not, and you've said this, that is not Goody's MO. And I think that frustrates fans because last year I think the idea was, well, Jordan Morgan could be that future left tackle. And then 2 days into training camp, it's like, no, he's battling at right guard. You find a player and you let them compete, and it gives you a lot of credibility when you don't just hand jobs off to first-round picks. You got to earn it.
Yeah.
And it puts a lot of pressure because then all of a sudden you have a lot of media slash fans and et cetera saying, well, your first-round pick didn't even contribute. Been plenty of teams have won championships without their first-round pick contributing. Now, does it make life a lot easier if you do hit it and you get it right with a special talent, which is typically what a first-round pick is? Yeah. A.K.A. Philadelphia. You can look at Tampa. There's great examples of being having big-time contributors with that first-round pick. And when you are a draft and develop team, and this is why this draft is so important for Goody, because you did not hit much. Your batting average, you would have been sent to the minor leagues with your hit rate in 2020 and 2021. But you did hit, and I don't know what I would call Jordan Love at this point. He is not a grand slam. I would say he is a nice, probably
ground
a stretched
rule double.
Out double. Yeah, that's what I would have put him at.
Ball went over the fence.
That's nice.
But it bounced.
You put him in that position, and that is what every team that's drafting early, Tennessee, New York, New England's got their guy supposedly. He's got to continue to prove it. When you get that guy, it levels the field, but you can't go two draft classes and only have one starter after 3 or 4 years. That's when you have to start chasing big free agents. Then your cap hits, and then all of a sudden when you do have a couple of draft classes like Goody has that have been good players, you need them to be great in order to continue to sustain championship level. And maybe last year was a great example. We didn't have it for whatever reason. Now you need to recapture that with at least two or three really big-time players out of this year's draft.
The poll is in the field. We've got 39 votes in the first 2 minutes. Tomorrow on Wilde and Tausch, we'll ask you which NFL draft prospect is your guy at number 23. Today, our poll question is this. Which position do you hope the Packers select in the first round tomorrow? Your choices are wide receiver, corner, defensive lineman, or offensive lineman. How do you think the balloting's going early on?
People want receivers. People want receivers.
In an upset, the early balloting, defensive linemen, 41.9%. Wide receiver second, 29%. Cornerback is third, 23%. And then the offensive linemen are rounding it up.
See, some people are voting with what they want to happen for fun. Receiver, drafting Green Bay first time. And for other people are like, I'm not going to get my expectations and my hopes up, so I'm going to pick the most boring one.
Which position do you hope the Packers select?
50% Hall of Fame hits.
Yeah, but he only batted four times. If you have 600 at bats, you're not going to have 300 Hall of Famers.
Hey, Jason,
he's not Tony Gwynn.
Jason, maybe that tells you we need more cracks at it. Let me tell you something. If I have Babe Ruth, I got him swinging. And it's like, man, maybe I want to find another Babe Ruth.
Same people making the picks.
Ted Williams hitting 400 if he goes 4 for 10 in his career is not nearly as impressive.
Nice. Good reference. You're a baseball guy. Tausch, you always hit 1,000 when it comes to talking about American Family Insurance.
Oh, excited a lot. We're going to see a lot of our friends from American Family Insurance up in Green Bay. They are a proud sponsor of Wilde and Tausch from the jump. And for almost 100 years, they've been committed to making life better with the right home and auto protection. All so you're free to enjoy your dreams. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
So Brian Bulaga is traveling to Wisconsin.
Grill off tomorrow with the big Blooster. Big old grill offs.
You ready for that?
Yeah, I'm ready. I don't even know what we're grilling, but I feel really confident that I'm going to beat Blooster.
Asparagus.
What's your strategy for a grill off?
Hope it's better than your smoking history.
Well,
yeah, you don't have the best.
I don't know if we're
like. I trust
hope
you.
We're smoking something.
You don't have the best history with meats.
Explain.
I mean, you
we covered this. You smoked some brisket.
There was an
and
entire
it was like
show
chewing gum.
On it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it sucked.
You came on here on Monday morning after a big smoke weekend, and you're like, I don't know how to do this.
I've also told you we have kicked Keister with our pork shoulder and our pork butt. So we've smoked the heck out of some great meat.
It also sounds like you just have Max do it half the time.
Max is good. We have a lot of issues with brisket. Brisket is not for the faint of heart. If you're going to smoke a brisket
for
you
the
better
brisket,
be invested.
Am I right?
Nice.
I don't get it.
Rhymes.
Oh.
Anyway, okay. Brian Bulaga's not here. So we're going to play some clips from him, from his other appearances on the Homer Hour.
Where's Bulaga?
And we look forward to seeing him in person for the grill-off with, I believe, sources close to the program indicating a special judge. And I don't mean Jackrabbit Mama.
Anybody.
Could be. So we will hear from Brian Bulaga through the magic of recorded audio next to Will Dean Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
You still want to see that steady play, that steady improvement, and you didn't get it from Jordan Love?
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
That just makes the stakes that much higher this season.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
All right, before we get to pre-recorded Brian Bulaga, which is still great, not as great as when he joins us in person. We'll probably still be late for the start of the 10 o'clock hour.
We will be on the clock better than usual. I think that's fair to say.
See, this is why you just put the whammy on us.
I mean, there's no way we're going to be starting
again,
the 10 o'clock hour at 10:18 this time around.
Okay, I hope you're right. But for those of you that did not tune in and hear this on Tuesday after Goody spoke on Monday, or you didn't hear it on KBN or anywhere else across ESPN Wisconsin, Goody was asked about the idea of his first-round pick having to have an impact or be a starter as a rookie. Does he need that to be the case? Here is how Goody answered.
No, I mean, I think you'd love to, but I mean, I think a lot of you guys have been around here. You know, it's great when they do, but that's not always the case. I mean, the transition to the National Football League is tough. It's not always easy. A lot of times it's really determined by opportunity. If you take a guy in a particular area that he's just going to have a lot more opportunity than somebody else, you know, and we try to stay away from that drafting for need. We try to just, you know, take the best player available if that's possible. But most of the time, a guy's impact in his rookie year comes down to the opportunities that he had more than anything.
That I did not find that to be the least bit bothersome. Am I just not paying attention? Am I just dumb? Because it bothers
me. People like to be bothered.
Perpetually
people
offended.
People like to be bothered. That is as solid of a quote. If you're sitting there saying, oh, God, yes, if we don't get a wideout that is dominant at 23, we're going to stink. Would you feel better if he said that? Is that what you're going to feel better? Is that going to keep you warm at night? So this is the way you draft. This should be your approach. Now, if you don't think Goody is hoping that his first-round pick is a home run and is a huge contributor to a Super Bowl team, you just hate Goody. But I don't know what else you would want any rational general manager to say. Like, if he's not saying that, I'm thinking, I don't think this dude is qualified for the job. It'd be like if he said, man, I didn't realize when I traded Brett Favre or if I traded Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if we'd have any idea what the fan base would do. Nico Doncic. That's what you want to avoid. So here you have a rational, reasonable clip that makes a ton of sense. And anything outside of that, I don't comprehend.
Well, let's hear what Brian Bulaga thought. Because remember, he was a starter as a rookie, thanks to your which injury? Was that shoulder, groin, yeah, knee?
Something. Yeah, one of those things.
Brian Bulaga took over for Mark Tauscher after four games during the 2010 season. He was the Packers' first-round pick, selected at number 23, which is where the Green Bay Packers are selecting, or at least scheduled to select, tomorrow night. Here's Brian Bulaga on his experience as a rookie starter in the National Football League.
I didn't get an opportunity to start. I was behind Cliffy and Tausch, so I wasn't going to start unless something happened, and something happened to Tausch. So it is based on opportunity, and some guys get some and some guys don't. But I still think at the end of the day, the expectation is that they should be ready to go and able to play immediately. At least I think. You're not picked in the first round to be a project, so to speak. You're picked to be ready to contribute. And if you draft a guy and say an offensive line, and to me, that's kind of where I look at, is that, yeah, I wasn't asked to be a starter right away. I had a few weeks to develop, I guess, throughout the season. But I was asked to contribute now. Like, I started, I didn't start, but I played pretty much the entire game against Buffalo. Chad played one series against Buffalo, came out, and I played the entire game against Buffalo at left tackle my rookie year. Like, that was week two. So, like, I was asked to go play right away as well. And then I went and played right tackle when Tausch came out. So, like, guys are at, like, as a first-round pick, you should be expected to go contribute and play at a high level right away. At least that's the way I expect it to be.
So, in recent history, since Brian's selection, the Packers have had some picks that were, I don't want to call them projects, but first-round picks that maybe weren't quite ready to play. Brian played very well for a rookie after you got hurt.
Yeah, I think when you looked at Brian, he struggled initially, and then by the end of the season, he was playing at a really good level. So there's a ramp up, there is a process, and this is where I get into arguments with guys all the time that, oh, you know, it's the same cast of characters that wanted to cut Davante Adams, that didn't think, you know, so and so was any good, and da, da, da. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes guys are who they are, and they don't get any better. Most of the time, first and second round picks, they get better. They end up being the guy that you hope, and maybe they're not to the same level that you thought, but they're not going to be some liability out on the field either.
The Packers' first-round picks after Brian Bulaga. Derek Sherrod in 2011. I don't know what he would have become had he not had that catastrophic leg injury, but he was not ready to play when they drafted him. If you remember, in 2011, Cliffy missed a bunch of time with injuries, and it wasn't Derek Sherrod that they went to. It was Marshall Newhouse, who had some experience. 2012, Nick Perry. 2013, Dayton Jones. 2014, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. He played right away. He started right away. 2015, Demarius Randle, which was just a bad pick all around. 2016 was Kenny Clark. Kenny Clark is exactly what we're talking about here, about a guy who doesn't necessarily play as a rookie. 20 years old. Little bit of a projection. Turns out to be a three-time Pro Bowler and a really good defensive tackle. I know he didn't have a great year last year, but he's a good example of a guy that is definitely one of the better first-round picks the Packers have had, and he did not contribute as a rookie. Hardly at all. Barely played until the end of the season, and even then didn't play a lot. So each player is different. Each position is different. Each opportunity is different. And again, when I look at this team and where they stand currently, I don't see a position where they have to draft a player at that position because they need someone to walk in and start right away. They needed Jair to come in and start as a rookie in 2018. They needed Darnell Savage to start as a rookie in 2019. They remade the entire safety position last year around Xavier McKinney. They drafted three of them. They needed one of those guys to turn out to be the starter, and it turned out to be Evan Williams. So, again, I don't know if there's a position like that this season, but the bottom line is this, for me anyway, was much ado about nothing. Jesse, you've got trivia up next.
So here's what we're going to do today, folks.
Yeah, double trivia, probably.
It's double trivia, but this
Let's
is
go.
A... So here's how this is. We're doing two different trivia sessions today. Yep, that's what we're doing today.
No.
Yep.
Vito. Tommy Vito. Why would we do that? It's fun to do double. You get the different contestants conversing with each other.
Let me finish. We have rollover trivia from yesterday because we didn't get to it yesterday.
So we have to roll it.
So I want to do that now.
You could have done two Wisconsin Geography Wednesdays.
So we're going to do Badgers trivia Tuesday on Wednesday, NFL Draft Edition. That's coming up next. Then later in the show, double Wisconsin Geography Wednesday.
So we're playing three rounds of trivia today?
Because the draft is happening. We're not going to want to do trivia while we're up at the draft. There's all kinds of fun happening the next couple of days. We owe it to our fans to have a fair chance to be in for the prize pack at the end of the week.
It's a bold stroke.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it.
You're getting everything you want from this. You're getting double everything Wisconsin
you
want, geography.
Everything you need.
Yeah.
Vertical horizon. All right, well...
You have to talk about that cute son of a gun, Bucky, or whatever you call him these days.
He is going
to
talk about that rascal and UW Credit Union in a minute. All right, hey, look, if you don't like this, take a beat. Take this next segment off. I'll handle it. Go, go get a coffee. Go on down to the Quick Trip down the road.
Hey,
get yourself a coffee. Come on back.
I'm not going to be patronized.
I'm not patronizing
you. I am a team player. Listen... I'm a team player. I can voice my displeasure and still be a team guy. Like, that doesn't mean I'm going to pout and not do it, but I can say I don't think it's a great idea.
For the record, I wanted to do end-of-show trivia yesterday, and Jason
So did I.
So,
but Bully McGee over here said, no, we're not doing
Bully
it.
Bully McGee.
We didn't have enough time for it anyway.
We had plenty of time.
Bully McGee.
We had plenty of time.
Caller 8 right now for the first round of Will Deedshouse Trivia, Badgers Trivia Tuesday on a Wednesday. Caller 8 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 8 plays after Tausch tells us how he wised up and joined me as a UW Credit Union member.
And for every stage of life, Jason is a young whippersnapper back at old Whitty Hall, signed up. Took me a little longer, but for every stage, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years, they're going to help you reach your financial goals. And people ask me, T, why'd you join UW Credit Union? Well, is it to keep your banking local? Yep. Member first service? Abso-blankin-lutely. Great perks like early payday? Yep, but I just love having all the options. What you want to get on your car? Do you want to get Bucky? That's what I did. You can get those beautiful chairs from the Union. You got all kinds of options. And if you love Wisconsin like I do, you just can't pay with anything else. Fandom will make you do crazy things, but man, does this just make sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today. Get that Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions to apply.
Trivia's next, whether Tausch likes it or not. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Brian Balaga on Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. It's light, refreshing, and has zero bubbles. It's perfect for a day on the golf course or a day at American Family Field. Cheers to Surfside.
for trivia. Time for a first time contestant. Let's welcome in Brad in Whitewater. Brad, good morning, buddy. How are you?
What's up? How's it going, guys?
What's up? It's going good. We're happy to have you. Tausch is very excited to play. Tausch is very excited to play trivia and ask all three questions because he's so enthusiastic because he's such a team player. Am I right?
Absolutely. Am I not? All right. Which of these Wisconsin Badger players, who is also a Pro Football Hall of Famer, will be announcing a pick at the 2025 NFL Draft up in Green Bay? Is it Joe Thomas, Ron Dane, or Nordy?
I'm going to say Joe Thomas.
Well done.
Yes.
I feel like Nordy deserved
All right.
an opportunity.
Wisconsin Badgers safety Hunter Woller, expected to be drafted this weekend in Green Bay, played high school football at which of these Wisconsin schools? Is it Martin Luther, Auburndale, or Muskego?
Ooh, this one I do not know. I'm going to say Muskego.
You're going to be right.
Wow, that was lucky.
Pretty average bowling school from what I've been told.
They
and
are the reigning
lastly,
state champions.
Which of these? Yeah, well, I couldn't tell when I was watching Bowl Stream TV. There was no excitement
at
all.
Oh, that's rich.
Muskego won that. Which of these players is the most recent Badger to be selected on day two of an NFL draft? Is it Tanner Bordellini, Keanu Benton, or Jake Ferguson?
Oh, gosh. No idea. We're just going to take a random guess, say Ferguson.
Not sure this is either. When did Bordellini get drafted?
All right, hang on. I had this yesterday, and then we didn't do it. Now I got to go look
it up. Maybe was a fourth.
Give me
a minute. Was a fourth round pick and got picked on the third day, but he was close if he wasn't. I thought he was a day two guy, too.
Tanner Bordellini was drafted in the fourth round last year.
Okay.
Pick 117, so Jesse is right. Unfortunately,
Jesse's right.
Brad would have been wrong had he said Tanner Bordellini also, because the correct answer was Keanu Reeves Benton. So you got two out of three. That gives you three of the possible four entries into Friday's drawing if we remember to do it. Brad, not a bad debut for a guy who was having to guess at a lot of the answers. So well done, buddy.
Yeah, not so bad. Can't be mad about that.
No, sir.
Thanks for playing. Have a good one.
Thank you, guys. Love you guys.
I love you guys.
He may have been a first-time contestant, but he's a long-time listener to be dropping the.
That's Brad.
Love you guys.
Love Brad.
That's Brad.
Also, since that was Badgers trivia, seems like a perfect time to tell you that we've got a very exciting event coming up with Ben Brust as the MC, as the host, as the moderator. You remember the moments that made...
I didn't know you were going to do that.
You remember the moments that made that magical march in 2015. Frank Kaminsky leading the charge for Bo Ryan and Wisconsin in a run to the championship. Well, you can relive it all with Made 'Em Believe on June 26th. You can join Frank, Sam Decker, Bo, and more for an intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison to celebrate the 10-year anniversary of that team. Tickets are on sale now at uwhoops2015.com. That's uwhoops2015.com. Made 'Em Believe June 26th at the Orpheum Theater in Madison. Be sure to check it out.
We got a QR code for this one too, Tausch, so you can scan your tickets to make sure you
take
end
a picture
up
of it.
Yeah, that's how this works.
The 10 o'clock hour still starts late, even though we didn't have Brian Bulaga. Not 10:18, but
not,
it is 10:07.
Not as late.
10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.